Have you ever had a LEAP or an IUD placed? How informed are you about the effects that gynecological procedures could have on your birth? Have you talked with your care provider about your complete medical history? I'm Dawn Thompson, the founder of ImprovingBirth.org. Today on Preggy Pals, we're talking about cervical scar tissue and the effects it can have on your birth.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit. I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Annie Laird. Thanks to all of our loyal listeners who have joined the Preggy Pals Club. Our members get special episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. See our website for more information. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Preggy Pals app, and it's available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows marketplaces. Now, Samantha, our producer, is going to give us some more information about our virtual panelist program.
Thanks, Annie. So if you don't live in San Diego, but you'd like to be a panelist on our show, you can still participate through our virtual panelist program. Just like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram using hashtag Preggy Pals. We'll post questions throughout the week prior to our taping, and we'd love for you to comment so we can incorporate your thoughts into our episode. You can also submit your questions directly to our experts. Learn more about our VP program through the community section on our website, www.preggypals.com.
All right, well, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. I'm Annie. I'm 35, turn 36 next week. I'm a government contractor, and I have no due date. I have three little girls, and let's see, two of them were born in a hospital. One was a planned home birth. We transferred to the hospital, and then the last one was a home birth. So I think we're done. I just need a break. So,
I don't blame
you. Yeah, I need a diaper break. So, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
So I'm Samantha. I'm the producer of Preggy Pals. I am a stay-at-home mom now. I am no longer working for Coffee Bean.
Hey.
Yes.
Can you make me coffee?
Pumped about it. I can still make it.
Oh, okay, all right.
I just don't want to make strangers coffee.
Yeah.
I have one little girl, Olivia. She's 19 months old. I do not have a due date, although I wish that I did. And she was an unplanned cesarean, and I'm hoping for a VBAC next time around.
All right, great.
Good for you.
All right.
So I am Dawn Thompson, kind of introduced myself already, but as far as my personal life, I have six children, two stepchildren and four that I gave birth to. I had three C-sections and finally a vaginal birth.
Yay!
which has ultimately carved this path of starting a nonprofit organization.
Yeah. And you've been doing that for, I think that was one of the first times I met you.
Yeah,
personally, was
that's
probably
right.
What, 3 years ago or
three
so?
3 years ago, yeah. We've been doing it 3 years now, a little over 3 years, actually. So, yeah, well, you came to my house in your uniform because you were still active duty.
I was, yeah.
And came and painted some signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rally coming up this fall again. So
that's
it's
right.
Just getting bigger and bigger every year.
It
that's
is.
Awesome. All right, today for us on Preggy Pals, sometimes we review apps or news articles. Not really review, just talk about them. So this news article that caught my eye was French women don't stay fat after baby. And it said, don't blame yourselves, American moms. French women, now it talks more about postnatal care as far as the stomach muscles and pelvic floor muscles. So it's not really talking about, you know, you ate too much ice cream or something like that. But what it's saying is that French women, you know, here in the U.S., we have, you give birth and it's like, hey, see you 6 weeks later. I mean, if you're lucky, they see the baby maybe at 2 weeks later at a 2 week appointment. But for the women ourselves, our postnatal care is pretty abysmal. She says we often envy the French, but apparently there's one area that we should genuinely feel green eyed, and that's in postnatal care. So they get 12 half hour sessions with a postnatal physiotherapist that specializes in rehabilitating the pelvic floor and abdominal muscles.
Wow.
Which I think is awesome. So I don't really like the title of this article. It really, so the whole article is talking about bringing the stomach muscles back together, that sometimes in some pregnancies, some women can have a separation of the stomach muscles.
I have that actually. I'm having surgery in 4 weeks for it.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's been, I have like a full 2-inch gap in my abdomen.
Yeah. I got a 3-finger gap,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
I'm trying to get it back together, but it's so infuriating because like you know, I'm losing weight from breastfeeding.
Right.
You know, but it's like,
sticking out right there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme.
Yeah. I got like a pooch basically. Yeah. And it's like,
but at the top and not at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah, exactly. Shouldn't be like that. So, no. Yeah. And then as well, pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And then so the article goes about, in addition to kind of having the mummy tummy that we kind of alluded to here, mm-hmm. you know, talking about, you know, running without peeing yourself or, mm-hmm. you know, having stress incontinence, that a lot of that core muscles and the pelvic floor muscles really helps women not have urinary incontinence.
Yeah, so. And the doing the Kegels doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
That's which we've all been told is what we should be doing, and it doesn't.
Exactly,
it
do doesn't 100
help
Kegels.
It doesn't help the pelvic floor, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've actually gone to a pelvic floor physiotherapist, but it wasn't included in my postnatal care. It was just something I had to seek out on my own.
On your own, right.
Yeah, yeah. But gosh, wouldn't that be nice, I think, if American women could get that
for sure.
Yeah.
Seems like a, you know, we should be preparing ourselves to a lot of different countries because a lot of countries are doing a lot of things better in maternity care,
mm-hmm.
and we really should be emulating them in a lot of different ways, and this obviously is one of them.
Yeah, I agree.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Today on Preggy Pals, we're going to be talking about cervical scar tissue and the effect that it may have on your birth. Joining us in the studio today is Dawn Thompson. Dawn is a labor doula, and she's the founder of ImprovingBirth.org, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping women make safer, more informed decisions about their care and that of their babies. Welcome to Preggy Pals, Dawn. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
So, to start off here, a lot of women, I don't think, even know what cervical scar tissue is. So what is cervical scar tissue?
So ultimately, it's just a, it's been described in, there's two different types of cervical scar tissue and how they're produced. But essentially, one of them is more of an external, like, so it's on the outside of the cervix, and it feels like what midwives have described as a grain of rice, like uncooked grain of rice. It's a small scar where something caused, like a leap procedure, which we'll go into, causes more of a circular scar inside the cervix, which many have described as a rubber band. Like, it feels like there's a rubber band on the inside.
Ah, okay.
And that's a little more extreme. And sometimes the one with the rice, uncooked rice, mm-hmm. will basically resolve itself on its own,
yeah.
and doesn't need a whole lot of help, but the other one typically will need some assistance.
Would they be able to see that during like a pelvic exam
no.
or something like that?
Because,
no.
Yeah, because the cervix has to thin in order for it to be recognized, and it has to start thinning and dilating, or at least thinning.
Mm-hmm.
The thinning is the most important part because the cervix normally is pretty thick. I mean, a lot of people, I really encourage you to go look up pictures of cervixes because most of us have no idea what
Isn't
our cervix
like a website
like.
Called Beautiful Cervix?
Cervix.
Yeah.
It's a Beautiful Cervix Project is what it's called.
Yeah.
And go look at what they look like because it's you know, it looks like a donut, essentially. Mm-hmm. It looks like a donut. And so when you're not in labor,
donuts.
It's very, very
It was National Donut Day yesterday.
It was.
We're running on that theme.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Exactly.
It looks like a big, thick donut. And when it starts to thin, it literally gets to a
paper
piece
thing.
Of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so until that happens, that's why, unfortunately, you can't deal with it until you're actually in labor.
Ah, okay. So what are some of the ways that women can even get scar tissue on their cervix in the first place?
So leap procedures, cone biopsies, cryo procedures, which most aren't doing those anymore.
What is that? Is that like freezing?
Is a freezing.
Mm-hmm. Ow.
Where they freeze the cells on the cervix.
Oh, would that be in case of like cervical cancer or something like that they would do? Or
Yeah, or just abnormal, which unfortunately this is part of the problem, right? When we have mm-hmm. the whole HPV.
Yeah.
HPV is a huge epidemic at this point, and many, many women suffer from it. And so it's very common for them to, even though a lot of the HPV would resolve itself.
Right.
If you go in and you have abnormal cells on your cervix, they want to remove them.
Yeah, because it's not just like HPV is just one virus. There's many, many different varieties of it.
Correct. So, there's over 100 strains of HPV.
Yeah. So. And some of them, like you said, resolve on their own, and some
But very few of them actually develop into cervical cancer, but it's hard. You don't know which one you have, unfortunately, until there's a biopsy done. And even a biopsy can close. So a biopsy is when they take a tool in there and they literally like bite off a piece of your cervix, which
also
of course
ow.
You can imagine, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Also ow. But as you can imagine, though, that would potentially leave scar.
Yeah.
And it's important to say that not every woman would develop scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So, but unfortunately, you don't really know if you're the woman who's, you know, who develops a lot of scar tissue. I didn't know that for myself. And it's funny because I went around teaching about scar tissue for many years, long before I went and had more children. You know, I'd had my first children when I was very young, before I was a doula and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to go have my second, you know, my third and fourth child, ultimately cervical scar tissue was my nemesis and certainly not my friend.
Yeah.
And I would have never imagined that I had anything because I'd never had a LEAP procedure or cone biopsy.
Now, what is a LEAP?
So a LEAP is where they literally like scrape it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
They, mm-hmm. they scrape the cervix. They take a tool in there and it's kind of like the tool, like how they do a circumcision.
Okay.
Like
all
that,
right.
How they, you know, pull that skin off. So
yeah.
It's very similar to that.
Okay.
So that's how you can imagine, like just visually imagine having that scraped and why there would be that rubber band type scar tissue within the cervix, right? Because that's what they're doing. They're kind of scooping it out. And there's lots of, I mean, if people want to go look up LEAP procedures, there's lots of images on there so that you can see not actual procedures, but, you know, like when they're drawn, you know, not an actual photograph, but, you know, this stupid word.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, yeah.
Stupid word that's not coming
A picture
to me,
that's
but.
Not a picture. A
yes,
drawing.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. A diagram or
something.
So anyways, but so you can look at different procedures, but not everyone is going to develop the scar tissue, but unfortunately there's no way to know until you're in labor whether or not you're going to have that. So.
Right. Yeah, and I know we talked earlier about you know, so we've been talking about LEAPs and cone biopsies and things like that, but what I was surprised about with women that have had a cesarean, that they have no procedures on your cervix, that just with cesarean, because they use the tool, like a manual dilator.
Exactly.
That a woman who is, for example, say, had a DNC.
Yes.
You know, had to clear
or an
out,
IUD placed.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
You know, just, you would have no idea that a woman who's just had a previous cesarean, well, they still have to open up the cervix.
Yeah. See,
but
that's me. I've only ever had one cesarean. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have cervical scar tissue. There's nothing going on down
right,
there.
Right. But here's the difference, though. It's if you dilated during your first birth, then they wouldn't do that.
Mm.
This is only for scheduled C-sections when the cervix hasn't opened.
Oh.
So what they do is they manually dilate from the top to open the cervix so that the blood flow comes out.
Yeah.
Where if
oh.
you've already dilated, if you got to 3 or 4 or 5, whatever centimeters when you were in labor, then there would be no need to do that.
Oh, okay.
So
that's
it's typically, yeah. But so I had only had, I'd had a DNC for a miscarriage before, and then I also had an IUD placed.
Mm.
But my IUD had been placed. Not every – that's another thing to know. Not every provider uses the dilation, the automatic dialer to put the IUD in. Some just insert the IUD without dilating the cervix.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you would need to know. You know, you should know. And it's certainly something – it's so funny. You know, I mean, it's about really taking part in our maternity decisions, is that those are the kind of questions you should be asking your provider. If you're going to get an IUD placed, how are you going to do it? Are you going to dilate my cervix? Are you going to insert – like, these are all questions that we should be asking.
Right. Instead of like, well, IUD or pill, you know,
right.
like, okay, whatever.
Just do it.
I don't want to know the details. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are some of the effects that scar tissue can have when a woman goes to give birth then?
So,
and as you said, could have. And
yes, could
not
have.
Necessarily will have.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it's more common than most people realize. And I really think that it's one of the probably one of the bigger issues for C-section other than induction. because so many women don't know, and neither do providers. That's really important. They aren't taught in medical school. They are taught about cervical scar tissue. They're not taught that it causes dystocia in labor. What it what they're taught is that it can cause the cervix to not hold a pregnancy mm-hmm. and to dilate and thin out too soon.
So it's the opposite of, or this the concern of, oh, we might need to cerclage this woman's cervix
closed, you know, and not the opposite.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the biggest problem with it is that nurses aren't taught, and they're the ones doing the vaginal exams during pregnant or during labor. You know, the doctors, as we all know, many people might find this surprising, but the doctor usually shows up about the last 5 minutes of your labor, you know, maybe 10, unless you have, you know, great doctors like we have Dr. Kapp who like to be part of the pushing process right. the whole time. But most care providers are not.
You know, and I think there is that's a huge misconception. I was just at a birth this past week, and the mother-in-law was in the room. She was Greek, you know, so she had not had her children in the country, but she's like, she's looking around at me, and she looking at her daughter, and her daughter, and asked her daughter-in-law, "Where's the doctor? Where's the doctor?" I said, "Oh, he doesn't come till later." And she goes, "Well, like when? Like, you know, 30 minutes later? Like, when's this guy gonna get his butt here? My daughter-in-law is having my grandchild, you know?"
Right,
and like,
right, right, right.
We had to explain that, like, no, she shows up at the very end.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, the nurses call her in.
Right.
So they're the ones doing everything.
When they're starting to see the head.
Yeah.
No less. Right.
Yeah. Stop pushing.
Yeah. Stop pushing. Okay, now we got to call the doctor in. Yeah. It's a really bad misconception. But you'd asked me another question about, you know, some of the things that it, you know, what it does in labor.
Right, right.
So I got a little off topic on that one. But ultimately, it's essentially, it can do a lot of things, but probably the most common thing we see with a LEAP procedure, for instance, mm-hmm. is that a woman won't be going into labor. She'll have just ridiculous amounts of prodromal labor of starting and stopping and starting and stopping.
And of course, and starting in the middle of the night and then stopping in the morning. Yeah.
Of course. Oh, yeah. So labor exhausted. All night. And this can go on for a week, 2 weeks, you know,
yeah.
Where, you know, I think it's important to know that the problem is that in a posterior baby shows a lot of the same signs. So making sure that you're addressing those issues as well, that the potential that your baby is posterior causes a lot of the same confusion about, you know, a lot of prodromal labor will happen when the baby is posterior too. So, but if you have a risk for cervical scar tissue, you certainly should be paying attention to these things. It can also cause dystocia of the labor, which means that the cervix kind of stalls or stops dilating. I want to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
When you have a LEAP procedure, the thing that we see a lot is that finally when labor starts, sometimes it's with the water breaking mm-hmm. prematurely or before, you know, labor begins. And then labor will finally get going and mom will be rocking it out 2 to 3 minutes apart. She is
great labor
totally
pattern.
In. Yeah. I mean, and you're thinking, you know, as a doula, mm-hmm. you and as a parent, you go to the hospital because you're in. You did all the things. It's been 2 minutes apart for an hour.
You gotta be at least five centimeters
dilated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they walk in and they're 1 centimeter or half a centimeter or not even a fingertip dilated, which really was what happened. That's how I found out about cervical scar tissue. And I could share that story because it was my sister. And she had this prodromal labor. She lives up in Lake Arrowhead. I was traveling. I went up there the week before. She's like, okay, things are starting. Went up the week before, labored with her all weekend long, off and on labor. And I'm just like, okay, hun, I got to go home. This isn't real labor. So I came back home. She went to the midwife the next day. She had midwives at Kaiser. Went to the midwife the next day and they said, your fingertip dilated. And I thought, what? How could she have been like I can't even get my finger in there. How could she have been laboring so much over the weekend and not done anything? So I just thought, oh, okay, it's my dramatic sister.
Yeah.
Chalk it up, drama. And so a week later, her water broke. And now keep in mind, she'd have been having contractions all week long, nonstop, all day, all night. But I mean, she could move on with her life. They weren't, you know, horrible. They were just like, okay, I'm tightening again. I'm having the pain. I'm, you know, all those things. So I know, okay, water's broke. We're for real now. So I go up there And she had chosen to labor at home for as long as possible. And I got there and 7 minutes apart, 7 minutes apart, 7 minutes apart for 17 hours. And I was just like, something's not right, Mindy. I'm so sorry. I know you wanted to do this as long as you could here, but my gut is telling me we need to go in. They're not getting longer, stronger, and closer together. And so we went, but she was in. I mean, there was no doubt. She was exhausted. She was working hard. It wasn't like, you know, mild surges like she'd been having the week before. And we walk in, and now this is a new midwife who she hadn't, you know, had only seen once during the time. And she did a vaginal exam, and she's like, your fingertip dilated. And I'm like, what? What? How is this possible? You know, and I'm just like racking my brain thinking, how is this possible? Mm-hmm. I've just been watching her labor for hours. And then she said, but you're like 90% effaced, almost 100% effaced. And I thought, well, that's weird. You don't have zero dilation and almost fully efface. Like, what? That just doesn't make sense to me. And then suddenly she still has her hands in there. And she says to my sister, have you had any procedures done to your cervix? And my sister said, oh, yeah, I had a LEAP procedure done a few years ago. And this was her second child. I had been telling her, your birth is going to go so fast. It's your second baby.
Oh, no.
but she had had the LEAP procedure since she had had her first baby.
Okay.
And she's like, that's what it is. You have cervical scar tissue. And I was like, how have I been a doula for 4 years and I've never heard of cervical scar tissue? Mm-hmm. So she's like, I'm going to see if I can get in there enough to see if I can break it up. And sure enough, my sister went immediately to 3 centimeters. Mm-hmm. And they went ahead and put it on Pitocin, which was a mistake, but whatever. they put her on Pitocin, so she immediately went into like rock star, you know, surges, and checked her an hour later, and she was 4 centimeters. And so she went in again, and she could feel, you know, when she was doing the exam, she could still feel a little bit of scar tissue. And so she, you know, manipulated again. And which, by the way, they say cervical, you know, you massage the cervix to get the scar tissue out, which sounds really kind, but it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
But I've seen lots of women do it and get through it without medication. It's not like, you know, it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm climbing the walls. It definitely is uncomfortable. Massage is definitely probably not the word, but manipulating the cervix is probably a better word.
Okay.
Anyways, and an hour later, my nephew was born.
Wow.
So she went from 4 to complete and pushing out my nephew an hour later.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so it was the first. So I pulled that midwife aside and I was just like,
tell me.
You got it. Fill me in. Yeah. What is this?
Yeah.
And she did. And I started doing, I immediately went home and tried to do some research on it. There was absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. There was nothing on cervical scar tissue. Wow. And so I wrote a blog post about my sister's specific experience. And then I started talking to midwives. And the midwives are like, of course, we deal with it all the time. I'm like, why isn't there articles? Like, why isn't the internet full of this stuff? Like,
right.
And immediately I started going back through several clients that I knew. I mean, I even called one after because I was sure because she wound up having a C-section. And I called her and sure enough, she's like, yeah, I've had 3 LEAP procedures done.
Wow.
And she'd never dilated.
Wow.
Never dilated. And so it was, you know,
the missing puzzle piece.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I've had clients who have been rocking their labor. Like, I mean, like you think they're in transition.
Yeah.
And you walk in and they're 1 centimeter dilated. Wow. But also then you've got a care provider who's willing to get in there.
Yeah.
And come into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because that's the first thing. Right. Yeah. We just had that discussion about how the provider doesn't come until the baby's coming out.
Right.
Or there's a problem.
Yeah.
Right. So now we have to call. We have to ask that nurse to bring a provider in.
Yeah.
And so it's so important to make sure that you have a provider that is aware of cervical scar tissue, knows how to deal with it, and is willing to come to the hospital when you're in labor, in the early labor and deal with it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that after the commercial break. So when we come back, we're going to be discussing how to talk with your care provider about cervical scar tissue and what they actually would do to, as John says, manipulate the cervix. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today, we're discussing the issue of cervical scar tissue. Dawn Thompson is our expert. Now, Dawn, you mentioned that the midwife with your sister, that she manipulated cervix. What exactly can the care provider do? You mentioned it's during labor that this has to happen. But what are they doing to actually break up that scar tissue?
Well, typically it's just done during a vaginal exam. And they're using,
some special technique or something.
No. They have to I've never done a vaginal exam. So I'm only going with what providers have shared with me. Mm-hmm. Some have described it where they literally go in and they just put more pressure on it. You know, it's kind of like a, when you just get your membrane stripped or something, that's something that's discussed. So it's just an aggressive,
vaginal
more aggressive,
exam.
More aggressive vaginal exam, and they use their fingers. But I've had providers describe it like when it's a LEAP scar, which is that tight rubber band, that it feels like purse strings opening.
Ah.
You know, like when it releases, they can feel it. Like it feels like, you know, mm-hmm. like, and oftentimes the cervix will just open to a dilation, which is where it's supposed to be. So I'd mentioned how women are
gone
acting
from like one to like five.
Three or four. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, okay, that makes some more sense. That's how she was acting.
Yeah.
You know, her body was participating in being 5 or 6 centimeters.
But it was just being held closed.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what kind of discussion should a woman be having with her care provider? And when should this discussion be happening?
Immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, when she's interviewing a care provider, as far as I'm concerned.
You know about cervical scar tissue?
Yeah. Are you aware of cervical scar tissue? And because she should know her history. She should remember, you know, because it's amazing how many women go, God, you know, I don't remember. Have I ever had a LEAP? You know, like,
I thought
you know,
it was so neat at the, I can't remember what baby fair it was, maybe the Natural Baby Fair a couple of years ago, but Ina Mae Gaskin came.
She did.
And she said, you know, in this focus group that you were doing, you know, we really should pay more attention to what women's medical histories are.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not just a thing where a woman comes in off the street and, you know, and that's not the hallmark of midwifery care.
Right.
Midwifery
care. We have to look at their whole history.
Yeah,
their whole history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, we move, we change insurance companies, we don't have the same provider. You know, you may go to a different person or you may have gone to a different person for your gynecological procedures. You may have gone to, a midwife for other things or an obstetrician for other things. And that stuff doesn't carry over. What happened at this provider doesn't carry over to the next provider.
Right.
So it's important that you are aware of what you've done so that you can have that discussion.
Right.
But definitely.
Women taking charge of their own, of healthcare.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is my body. This is my baby. And, you know.
Yeah. It's so important.
Mm-hmm.
We've been brought up in a culture that says you just do what that guy over there with the medical degree says, but he doesn't know your body the way that you know your body. And well, at least I hope that you know your body, and if you don't, you should.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, the making sure that your provider, and this goes for midwives, are perfectly capable. In fact, I think they're even more capable, it seems, because they are fully aware of cervical scar tissue. All the midwives, most of the midwives that I've talked to have been seen it, they deal with it, they know how to address it. The obstetricians have been a little less coming around. Although I feel like, I've been talking about this for 7 years now. So it's now in several childbirth education programs where they're where they talk about cervical scar tissue. And so I think that the original blog post I wrote got a lot of attention, but I wrote a follow-up with much more information and stuff. And that's been, you know, read hundreds of thousands of times across the country. So the awareness is definitely coming and happening. So
now you mentioned, so if a woman has a baby, or say she gets pregnant and she has had previously a procedure on her cervix, mm-hmm. and then she has that baby vaginally, is that scar tissue still an issue at that point, or is it completely broken up?
It typically, I mean, my understanding is that unless you do something else to your cervix, it's
after that baby,
it's gone.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Dawn, for joining us today. For more information about Dawn and improvingbirth.org, visit the episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of our Preggy Pals Club. After the show, Dawn is going to be discussing the upcoming Rally for Birth occurring this upcoming Labor Day in locations all over the world. To join our club, visit our website, www.preggypals.com. Hey, we have a comment from one of our listeners. This is from Nicole in Texas. Hey, Preggy Pals. I'm pregnant with our first child, and I desperately want to breastfeed my baby after she's born. I listened to a couple episodes you've done focused on breastfeeding, but I can't seem to get enough. Is there another resource you can recommend?
Hey everyone, this is Sunny. I'm one of the producers on the show, so thank you for your question. And yeah, regarding breastfeeding, this has always been kind of an interesting topic for us because some of you may know or may not know, we have a whole show that focuses on breastfeeding. It's called The Boob Group. You can find all the episodes at theboobgroup.com. It has all the free apps, just like Preggy Pals does, so you can listen to it on the go. So we don't concentrate so much on breastfeeding because we have a whole show that's dedicated to it. And they go into lots of great in-depth information about breastfeeding, as well as how to breastfeed in public and how to just cope with all the emotion that comes with breastfeeding and helping out other mamas who may be having a bad day. We talk about everything on that show. You know, sometimes we do have breastfeeding episodes on Preggy Pals, but I would steer you towards the Boob Group for everything breastfeeding. That's where you're going to get the most comprehensive information. And but yes, we're huge breastfeeding advocates here at Preggy Pals, and I didn't want to give the impression that we weren't. In fact, we're so into breastfeeding, we have a whole show about it. So feel free to check out the Boob Group at theboobgroup.com.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Parent Savers, for parents with newborns, infants, and toddlers, Twin Talks, for the parents of multiples, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies. Next week, we'll be discussing how you can cope with the nemesis of first trimester women everywhere, morning sickness. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy, your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.